Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League Game Week 34 and the top transfer targets for the week. My name is Joe and today I'm joined by Mark to select the best options. Welcome Mark, how are you?
Hi Joe. Yeah, I'm good. Good, thanks. Not a free hitter this week.
No.
Just the two free transfers, but can hopefully come up with a squad that almost covers the gist of it, really.
Yeah, same as me. I'm just going to use free transfers for this. I've got two. And so, this will hopefully help the likes of us who aren't free hitting and also free hitters as well to see some of the top targets they should have. What we're going to look at is the best targets for the defence, midfield and forward positions as well. And before we do that, we'll have a quick look at the fixtures, remind us about the double game week, because of course there's a number of teams playing twice this week, as if people didn't know already. Just a reminder, do press that like button, really helps us out, and do subscribe so you can keep up to date with our latest videos and podcasts. Okay, I'll put the fixtures up on the screen. These show that Crystal Palace are top in terms of difficulty because they have two home games, West Ham and Newcastle. They look pretty good for their attackers, certainly. Arsenal face Wolves and Chelsea. Wolves away, Chelsea at home, fresh from their defeat in Europe. Sheffield United, meanwhile, have a mixed bag. Burnley at home, but then Manchester United away. Liverpool, Fulham and Everton away. Everton, Nottingham Forest and Liverpool, both at home for them. Aston Villa face Bournemouth, and Bournemouth also take on Wolves. So Bournemouth have Aston Villa and Wolves, and Wolves, meanwhile, of course, have Arsenal and Bournemouth both at home. Looking at those double teams there, to me it looks like Crystal Palace, Arsenal and Liverpool are probably the main ones I'm looking at there. Is that what you're thinking as well?
Yeah, I think with Arsenal and Liverpool you get that sort of top team safetiness, where Palace has the two attacking fixtures anyway, and Sheffield United sit between them on there. But I must admit, apart from maybe Brereton Diaz, there's not a lot of appeal there.
I think if I was, certainly in FPL Challenge, where promoted sides get double points, stock up on Sheffield United because they played twice, so you might as well. And McBurney could come into the reckoning there. But yeah, I can't see many likes of us using free transfers to get McBurney in when there's other options. Meanwhile, Manchester United, Aston Villa, and to a much lesser extent Luton and Newcastle have okay single game week fixtures. It's Manchester United really at home to Sheffield United. That's the key one there. Aston Villa at home to Bournemouth. Of course, Bournemouth play twice, but Aston Villa play Bournemouth at home. That's a pretty favourable fixture for the likes of Watkins, but it remains to be seen if they're in our list. Let's get cracking with the defenders. We'll just put the defenders up here. So what I'll do is I'll read out I've got their basic details from the FPL site, really, and then me and Mark will chat about them. So we'll start with the first one on our list, which is Gabriel. 5.9 million. Points per match, 4.1, which is very respectable for a defender. He's in 4 out of 10. 2 out of 5 teams, however you want to say it. 40.3% of teams. And, of course, he faces Wolves and Chelsea. What's your thoughts around Gabriel? Best Arsenal defender to get at the moment? And also, I guess free hitters might be thinking, well, why isn't Ben White in here as well? Why isn't Saliba in here?
Very good shouts, to be fair. All of them are. And of course, the double up on Arsenal's defence has been quite popular. It was an off day against Villa last week. They had 6 clean sheets in 8 before that. They're just the league's best defence for sure. So getting 2 of that is fine. But if it was just one, I would still pick probably Gabriel over those 2 because he's scored 4 goals, although only 3 of them in FPL.
Yeah. Yeah, but nevertheless, I mean, a goal's a goal. And it doesn't count in FPL if it obviously is not in an FPL match. But, worth noting there. Yeah, I always find he's the most... Even when they lost to Bayern Munich last night, they were very good at shackling Gabriel. They're probably the best I'd seen. I don't think too many Premier League defences are good at that. They are still... Rice, in particular, when he's on corners, seems to aim at Gabriel's head. And so I can't see that changing. So, yeah, I like him.
It's kind of tough, though, because when you see an asset like Cole Palmer, who is going against Arsenal, then it's Palmer's only match. Mm. So, of course, in that respect, he doesn't have a lot of appeal in terms of quantity or quality of fixtures. But the guy is in such incredible form that... Yeah. Do you bench that? But then he is against Gabriel and Saliba and White. So that's going to be one of the more interesting decisions of the week, actually seeing how many managers bench Palmer and how many pick the 10 goals in 5 games.
Yeah. Next name on the list is Van Dijk. I'm not messing around with this. I think Arsenal and Liverpool are the best teams with a double game week. They may not necessarily have the best fixtures, although the fixtures are reasonable, I think, for both of them. But I just think you get at least one defender from one of them. I think the best one has to be reliability of starts, the off chance of an attacking return. It's Van Dijk, 6.6 million. Points per match, 3.5. Not as good as Gabriel, but still respectable for a defender. He's in just over a fifth of teams. And he's facing, of course, Fulham and Everton away. I personally haven't got any space for a new defender. So I'm probably going to get Alisson myself. But the principle remains. I do think getting a Liverpool defender, even though they haven't kept clean sheets, I still back them for at least a clean sheet in this double.
Yeah, especially when you see how Everton collapsed against Chelsea. That could have the reverse effect, of course. It might sort of get them to wake up a bit. But Liverpool do tend to find a way to concede. But at least Van Dijk, he's the only defender with more headed chances than Gabriel.
Oh, okay.
So he does offer the same sort of set-piece threat. So you've got the safety of minutes, the quantity of fixtures, the quality of fixtures, and the attacking threat.
Okay. Yeah, definitely a strong option there. And the next one, we've gone for a Palace defender as well. I mean, we've just followed the season ticker here. 2 home games. Yes, it is West Ham. Yes, it is Newcastle. But I've gone for, in case they can see, which I think they will, but there could be a clean sheet here. I've gone for the attacking potential here. And a lot of people over the last few weeks have gone for Munoz because he has got, got an assist within the last 6 matches. But it's Mitchell, I think, is the one to get. He's 4.5 million. He's created 6 chances over the last 6 matches. So on average, that's a chance a match. Whereas Munoz is just 1 chance in the last 6 matches. He did get an assist from that chance that created there. In terms of minutes per baseline bonus, is Mitchell as well, I think, is better than Munoz. It takes him every 6 minutes to get a baseline bonus, which is the points that tally up to get bonus points by the end of the game. Whereas Munoz is every 10 minutes, so far slower rate there. He's 4.5, 2.9 points per match, which is okay for a Palace defender. He's mega differential, 3.4% of teams, and of course West Ham and Newcastle away. For myself, I've had Anderson for about 4 months and still in my team, so now I'm going to finally play him. So I'm not personally interested in Mitchell, but I think if I had a free hit or blank slate, yeah, I think Mitchell would be one of the top three ones I would go for.
Yeah, I agree, actually, in terms of having him over Munoz, and the fact that he assisted the winner at Anfield last week sort of justifies that a bit more.
Yeah.
Well, he does have, I think Munoz got quite a lot of goals for Genk.
Yeah.
I think he's got like 10 in one season.
Yeah, but he's had a couple of shots inside the box to Mitchell's one. So he's marginally more attacking from that perspective. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. But then as you pointed out there with the numbers, Mitchell does seem to be overall more of an attacking threat right now. So yeah, really good as a wing back in Glasner's system. He's doing
definitely
really well.
Definitely there. Let's move on to midfield. This is a bit easier. No controversy here. Once again, I've gone for Liverpool. I'm not looking around. I've gone for Liverpool, Arsenal and Palace. I do, because also Palace handily do have a very strong option in midfield. We'll come to him in a bit. So not messing around. I'm just going for the who I think could be the best option, but they might not be the best option. Let's go for Liverpool first. I've gone for Salah in midfield. I think he's going to be well captained. I personally will captain him. 13.5 million now. Points per match, a mighty 7.2. He is in 2 out of 5 teams, and his match is away. His match is away to Fulham and Everton. I guess with Salah, he is, you would think, on with his pedigree, but I don't know whether he will be the best midfielder in terms of captaincy. What's your feelings around Salah?
He has been slightly frustrating since his comeback. Couple of those games, the Sheffield United and Palace one, very frustrating to own him for, but he is still sort of probably the safest route in Liverpool's attack, and he is on penalties, isn't he? So you look over the season-long stats, he's number one for big chances created,
okay,
number two for shots on target, so even if people might be slightly down on him right now, he's still more Salah with two games. Must-win games for them as well. So you're right, we can't predict the future. We don't know if he's going to be the top-scoring midfielder this week, but I think he has the better individual odds of being so.
Yeah, definitely, especially in a double game week. I just think who's on penalties, who plays for one of the top sides that are doubling, who's going to be the most captained. He's just, you know, all roads do point to him. Another name to put in the hat is Saka. Arguably, he possibly needs a rest. I think a lot of Arsenal players need a rest, but I think I don't think they can afford to lose this game, away game against Wolves, or a home to Chelsea. After with dropping points at the weekend over against Villa for the league, and of course losing to Bayern Munich out of the Champions League. So Saka, he's 9 million, 6.4 points a match. So we're messing with some big numbers here. He's in getting on for 60% of teams. So three out of five teams he's in, and his matchup is of course Wolves away, Chelsea at home. So I suppose the question here is he the best Arsenal asset to get in?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's a good question, because someone I'm considering is Kai Havertz for my own team, potentially as a transfer, because he's been getting a lot of sort of double digit scores recently. And Saka seems to be, he's been a bit streaky in that I think a while back he had 5 blanks from 6 and then suddenly he scored 7 goals in 5 games. And then now he's back to being just his last 5 matches, 1 big chance, 1 on target. he's gone quiet again. And Havertz is, apart from the Villa game last week, sort of on form. So yeah, it's a fair question to ask, because if you had a free hit and there was sort of no valuable transfers, that you, if money needed saving somewhere, you could definitely go for Havertz or Saka, especially if Arteta says anything about a rest. As you say, it's kind of not really time to rest now after two defeats like that. But
yeah, I mean, I think the same could be said of any Arsenal midfielder, though. I mean, Havertz, he's got competition up front from Jesus. Havertz can, of course, play in other roles, but I think he's favoured up front, for Jesus can play there. And Nketiah can play there. And he got the last 10 minutes or so in the Bayern game. There is a case to rest some players, and I think if they can, Havertz could be the one. But yeah, that's famous last words. So I just feel, for security of minutes, it could be Saka. But I don't feel confident enough to captain him, but I think he is amongst the three best options for the midfield this week. Last one of our three is Eze at Crystal Palace. He's only 6 million, easy to afford, transfer or free hit. Points per match, 4.2, which is not bad. And he's in a mere 5.1% of teams overall. I suspect that's going to be much higher in this game week amongst engaged managers. And he's, of course, got West Ham and Newcastle at home. Eze, he's probably my top transfer target, because I don't own him and I already got Salah and Saka. What do you think of Eze?
Yeah, sort of going into this week, the plan was to sort of downgrade Son to either Luis Diaz or Havertz. But having done a members article on the Scout website comparing Eze to Elise, sort of come out of that thinking, yeah, he's a good option, isn't he? He's got the penalties, he's got more minute security over Elise. Because to be fair, Elise has a better rate of sort of goals and attempts this season, but it's a smaller sample size and he's just come back from injury as well. So, you know, Eze is going to have the minutes, the penalties. He scored last week. He's, I think the idea of those two floating around Mateta in Glasner's new system, I think in tandem, it could be quite a lot of fun to watch. And he's a really strong option. But he's sort of the perfect sort of free hit sort of punt, really.
Definitely. I'm not sure I want Palace players that I would play each week in my team. But yeah, definitely for this week as well. And let's move on to the forwards. So yeah, a similar theme, slightly different actually. Mateta is there, but we'll come to him in a sec. So we do have Palace coverage, but we've gone for two other teams for the others. So we haven't gone for Darwin Nunez at Liverpool, and at Arsenal I think all of their, they're all listed as, no, Jesus is listed as a forward, I think, but most of them are listed as midfielders up front there. So, like Trossard, for example. There's limited options there. So let's start with the first one, which is Solanke. Really, really reliable goal scorer for FPL managers. 7.2 million. Points per match, 4.9. He is in 28.9% of teams. So getting on for 3 out of 10 teams there. And his matches, of course, are away, both away, against Villa and Wolves, who can concede. So there's every chance that he will get returns in both of those matches there. Solanke's already in my team, presumably in yours as well. But if you were free hitting, would you be getting Solanke in?
I personally would. I would pick him over Darwin, for example. In fact, out of all the double game week strikers, as we sort of see a couple of other names there, I would probably put Solanke as the better one.
Yeah,
he's ticking along nicely with the goals. He's one of the, didn't do that well last week in FPL, but at least he scored. So they are tricky away games, but you'd back him to come out of that with a goal at least, even better. And that's fine, really. He's a sensible pick, fine pick. And his ownership is at a point where it might hurt if you don't have him. So, yeah, he's having a good season.
Yep, definitely. And next name is Mateta. I said he was going to be on this list. He's only 5 million, 3.4 points a match. This is all season, and in recent weeks, he's been a far better option under the new manager's system. And as I said, got Eze and Elise to help him out. Mateta seems to be the favoured striker. He's in a mere 2.4% of teams. I suspect that's going to go up, especially amongst free hitters. And this matchup, obviously, is West Ham and Newcastle. Yeah, I think if I was free hitting, I would get Mateta. I do have Haaland in my team. And if I felt a bit punty this week and I didn't want, and I wanted to take a weird hit, which I never thought I would do at the beginning of the season, take Haaland out for a hit for another striker that I didn't own, I think it would be Mateta I would get. So I'm quite bullish in promoting him. But yeah, what's the thoughts on Mateta then?
He has got sort of recent goals. He's got 4 in 7. I don't know what to think about the two defences, because Newcastle have nosedived defensively since December, but it is two successive clean sheets. They do seem to be a bit better. Like, it's almost like the ship has been corrected just in time to end the season strongly.
But is that because they were at home there? I mean, you're obviously a Newcastle fan, and my impression is that they're far worse team away from home.
They certainly were really bad. Okay. For a long time, it was only an early Sheffield United win away from home, but the last 3 from 5 have been won on the road. Okay. Fulham, Villa, Nottingham Forest. So the corner is kind of being turned there, but of course the goals do still get conceded. That Fulham one was a clean sheet, but it was quite lucky, really, because I think Fulham, in terms of XG, were kind of dominant. So there should be opportunities for Eze, Mateta, all the Palace guys there. And then West Ham, they are really bad defensively.
Yeah. Okay.
If you look over their seasonal stats, and they're very, very leaky. So yeah, I don't know if there's much of a chance that Edouard gets one start over him, but that's kind of
I think he'll get minutes. We might see Mateta perhaps substituted around the 78th, 80th minute. But I think he has to be favoured at the moment. And it's not like they're in other cups, and then it's not like they're, you know, in Europe or anything like that. So there's no real excuse for them not to play their best side every match in the Premier League at the moment. Third option is Kuna at Wolves. I do like the Wolves fixtures, and Kuna is a player that I've yet to own. And another player, like if I felt Bunty get rid of Haaland, I think Kuna could be in the mix. I had him in the Sky game and he was amazing. I got him for 1 week and he ended up staying for about 2 months because he kept scoring every week. Every time I think, oh, I'll get rid of him, he's been amazing. So 5.6 million in the FPL game, points per match 4.5, which is almost as good as Solanke. He's in a mere currently 4.6% of teams. I expect that to go up though. Amongst free hitters, a match up, two home games against Bournemouth and Arsenal. I would imagine it's the Bournemouth game is the better one, but it's not, you know, beyond the realms of reason for him to score against Arsenal as well. But yeah, I think he's a really, really strong option, and he's probably the one that excites me the most, mainly probably because of my memories of him in the Sky game.
I'm the same. I really like the guy. He's one of those players who, yeah, there's a few that I've really wished I'd kind of owned over the recent months, but kind of haven't, and he's one of them. Yeah. He's, you know, he got the brace at Forest last weekend. His previous full match, because he got injured in the start before that, quite early on. So before that, it was a hat-trick at Chelsea.
Wow.
I think his last 12 games, he's got sort of 9 goals, 4 assists.
Wow.
So that is really good form. And I know personally, as a Hwang owner still, I'm kind of hoping he lets him get the goals.
Okay.
In this double game week. But the reality is Kuna has a better chance of scoring. And those are two really good, well, one really good fixture. But Arsenal, as we've seen this week, we don't know what stage they're at right now. He's an exciting option.
Totally With Arsenal, they either field the strongest team possible, who are tired, or they don't, and they rotate, either way, there's a weakness there that a player like Kuna could exploit. As you said, what was it again? It was in his last...
His last 12 starts, yeah. Excluding the one where he got injured after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It was 9 goals, 4 assists.
Okay, so that's 13 returns over that period. Yeah, that's exactly the kind of player you want. He's only 5.6. I mean, I might even get a hit to get him in. He's really good. but yeah, we'll leave that for those listening and watching. Hopefully we've given you some good ideas there to bring in, whether you're free hitting or not, and to prepare for the double game week in 34. Thanks so much for joining me, Mark. Really good to get your thoughts on those players. Just a final reminder, do press that like button. It does help us out. And do subscribe so you get up to date with our latest videos and podcasts. In the meantime, good luck with your transfer decisions this week. All the best. See you soon.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.